saw the feet coming, and then he heard something plunge into the pillows, and he got up. He says, "Come on, Ritzy, let's get out of here." And the two of them tore out the door as fast as they could down the hall. The uncle yelled, "Come back here! I'm not going to hurt you! Come back here!" Jack says, "Come on, Ritzy," and they ran all the way down the hall, grabbed the big doorknob, began to pull on it. It was locked. They saw the uncle at the other end of the hall. He says, "Now," he says, "Jackie," he says, "we just don't understand each other. I don't mean any harm." Jack says, "Yes, you do." He says, "You don't want me, and I don't want you." He says, "Just let me out of here, and I'll go home." He says, "Oh, no." He says, "You're the only living relative." He says, "You'd like to see me dead and get my money, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?" He says, "No, no." He was coming closer and closer. Jackie kept backing up until he was against the door. He says, "Well, now, boy, you don't have any choice now, do you?" He says, You keep away from me." And he says, "No." He said, "This is far as you go. You escape twice. Third time is the charm, you know." Yes. He started to reach out for Jackie, and as he did so, Ritzy was sitting there with showing his teeth, made a dive for him and knocked him to the floor. And as he did so, the lamp fell over. A key rolled up against the door. Jackie saw it and grabbed it. He says, "Ritzy," he says, "come on." Jackie looked back as he opened the door. He says, "Come on, Ritzy." He saw his uncle getting up, trying to put out a small fire in the middle of the hall. He says, "Come on, run, run, run." And the two of them began to run. And in the darkness, as they turned back, they could hear the uncle yelling, "Come back here, boy. I'm not going to hurt you." He says, "You're my friend. You're my friend." Jackie kept running and running and running and never stopped until he got into town. He ran, kept running and running until he got all the way into town. When he got into town, of course, it was past midnight, early in the morning, and he needed to find a place to sleep. He didn't want to disturb Mr. Martin and the boys at the hotel where they were staying. So he climbed up in the hayloft at the livery stable and put his horse in the barn. He went with his dog in the barn, and they slept upstairs in the loft. He helped Ritzy up to the loft. And finally, it was very late in the morning when he finally was awakened by the sunlight coming in through the open door of the hay mound. And he started to crawl down. He says, "Come on, Ritzy." And he picked him up around the waist and carried him down. And the man that was working in the livery stable looked at him and says, "Hey, what's going on here?" He said, "Good morning, sir." He said, "I slept in the hay mound, if you don't mind." He said, "Well, you're welcome to it." He says, "You have a comfortable night?" "I guess so." He said, "I got kind of wet." He said, "Well, that's too bad." He says, "What are you doing up there, boy?" He said, "I came in with Mr. Martin and the logs and went to see my uncle." "Oh," he said, "that's nice." He says, "Why didn't you stay with your uncle?" "Well, you see, my uncle's Jake Anderson." The man just about dropped his pitchfork. "Jake Anderson?" He says, "Yes, sir." Then he smiled. He says, "Well, I understand why you didn't want to stay." He said, "I didn't." He said, "I ran all the way back into town." He said, I guess I'll be going now." And he says, "Find my friends." Thank you, mister. "You're welcome." Jackie started walking downtown on the boardwalks, and just as he got in front of the hotel, he just about bumped into Elmer. He said, "Jackie." He says, "You found your uncle, didn't you?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Oh, I'm happy for you." He said, "You may not want to come home with us anymore, but I'm sure happy for you, Jackie, that you found your uncle." And then he looked at Jackie, and Jackie didn't seem happy at all. He says, "What's wrong?" "Well, I don't know, but I had a strange feeling my uncle didn't like me. And I ran off in the middle of the night. He says he gave me a bedroom and had bars on it, and somebody came into the room. Well, it's a long story anyway. I just got the impression he didn't like me. Elmer looked at him. He said, "You look hungry." He says, "Come on in." We were just going to sit down to breakfast anyway. He walked into the dining hall, and Mr. Martin was already sitting down. He said, "Jackie," he said, "did you find your uncle?" He says, "Yes, but I don't think he likes me." He says, I shouldn't say this, but he wasn't very friendly. And I'm not going back there ever. Never going to go back there again." "Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Jackie. Although, in a way, I'm happy that you're going back with us." He said, "Well, I'd rather stay at your place than a million Uncle Jake's." He said, "Well, you're welcome, Jackie. You know, you always have a home with us." "Well, you boys have a whole day to spend." He says, "We had a little trouble down at the sawmill doing some bookkeeping, and we'll be spending another night here. And then tomorrow morning," he says, "ready to travel home." Jackie said, "That sounds great to me. Travel home." He said, "That's where I want to go." He says, "The quicker I can get out of here, the better." Mr. Martin looked at Elmer. He says, "Elmer, what are you going to do for the day?" He said, "Well, I'll probably go down the wharf, look at the ships. I like ships." "Oh, I'd like to do that too," commented Jackie. "So will you come along with me?" He says, "All right." So that morning, the two of them started down towards the docks and the ships, because Jackie liked ships, and there were several that were loading up that looked like they were going to leave any minute on high tide. And they talked about this one, they talked about that one, and all of a sudden, in the distance, Jackie looked, and he looked again and kept looking over in one direction towards the town. "What are you looking at, Jackie?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "Well, you don't know my uncle, but I had a strange feeling that that was my uncle way down there behind that building. And now he's disappeared." Elmer laughed. He says, "Jackie," he says, "you had a terrible night." He says, "You'll probably be haunting you the rest of your life." He says, "Forget it. Forget it." He said, "But I'm sure I saw him." He says, "Well, sometimes your mind plays tricks on you like that." He said, "Come on." They looked at all the ships, and Elmer says, "I want to do some shopping. You want to come along, Jackie?" "No, thank you," replied Jackie. I think I'll stick around here." He says, "I just love the sea, the smell of the salt air." And Elmer looked at him. He says, "All right." He says, "I'll meet you back here about in an hour or so." He said, "Besides, that ship's getting ready to leave." He said, "I want to see them hoist the sails up and see it disappear beyond the horizon." Elmer left, and Jackie sat there on the wharf, dangling his feet, hanging down towards the water. And he was sitting there enjoying every bit of it. And every so often, he looked back to see if that what he thought was his uncle was still back there somewhere. But it wasn't. He watched this one particular ship. They were loading the cargo across the gangplank. Some of the sailors were scurrying up to the top to release the sails, and he knew that any minute, probably that ship would be sailing at high tide. As he was looking over there, he heard a voice. "He's interested in ships, matey?" Jackie turned around. He said, "Oh, hello." He says, "Are you from that ship?" "You can say that again." He says, "That's my ship." "Boy, that's a nice looking ship." And he said, "Well, it's one of the best." He said, "You're the captain?" The man laughed. He said, "Do I look like a captain?" He said, "I'm just one of the men." "Looks like you're going to sail very shortly." He says, "That we are, that we are." He looked at Jackie for quite a while. He says, "You're rather interested in boats, aren't you, boy?" "Oh, yes." He said, I like ships and I like the sea." He says, "I thought maybe someday if I didn't have a farm, I'd be a sailor like you." "Well, I'm not much of a sailor." He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. How would you like to go on board and see the ship from bottom to top?" "Oh, yeah." He says, "Well, maybe I better not." "Well, why not, matey?" "But I don't think I should." He says, I'm waiting for a friend." "Oh, nonsense." He said, "We'll be back." He said, "No time. It'll take a few minutes." The captain, or rather the sailor, looked at Jackie. "My name's Gus, just Gus. What's your name, Sonny? Jackie Anderson. And there was sort of a smile, a gleeful little smile at the end of his lips. And Jackie Anderson, huh? Well. And then he mumbled something to himself. Jackie wondered about that mumbling, what he sort of mumbled to himself as he half smiled. I says, come along, Jackie. He says, I know the captain, he won't mind. He says, but it looks like they're getting ready to sail. Oh, nonsense. He says, not for a while. He says, you haven't been around ships very long, have you? No, sir, I haven't been much around ships at all. He says, come on. He says, all right. So the two of them crossed the gangplank, and the sailor waved up to the captain who was on deck. He says, mind if I show a friend of mine around? The captain nodded to him, go ahead. He says, we'll be sailing shortly. He says, I know. So he took Jackie around, and he showed him everything, down into the hold, into the galley, which was the kitchen, and everything. And finally he says, let me take you way down. Have you ever been way down below? He says, in the bilge room? And he says, no. He says, sometimes water seeps into the ship and we have to pump it out. He says, so you ought to see that too. Come on. So as they went way down below, it kind of smelled like seawater. And there was water in the bottom of the ship a little bit that the sailors were trying to bail out. Finally, they started back up. And as they were going up, Jackie sensed motion in the ship. And finally, when he got on top, on deck, he looked out. He says, well, I've got to go now. He says, thanks a lot, Gus. He says, And as he looked, he saw land way over, beyond almost to the horizon. He looked the other way and the other way, and all he could see was water. Gus, he says, the ship's moving. And he says, yes, we've been moving for quite a while. He said, but I've got to get back. He says, He grabbed Jackie. He says, listen, boy. He says, let me get this straight. Let me give this to you straight now. He said, I was paid $500 to get rid of you. Now, because my heart's in the right place, he says, I'm not going to throw you overboard. I'll let you off at the nearest port. He says, Ben, don't you ever go back where you came from. Understand? You got five? Who gave you? He didn't need to ask. Gus kind of sneered this time. And he says, you remember that, Jackie. I'm supposed to get rid of you. You understand that? He said, but because my heart's in the right place, he says, I'll just put you off at the nearest port. Gus was saying, the only reason I'm not getting rid of you is because my heart's in the right place. He says, come on, we'll go see Captain Morris. They walked up the steps to the poop deck where the captain usually stood, and Captain Morris was out. He says, well, Gus, what do you have here? He says, stowaway, huh? You might say that. He said, do you have a place for him to work his way? Oh, I suppose we do. He said, the galley always needs help washing pots and pans. Jackie said, well, I'll do anything I have to do to work my way. Gus looked at the captain. The boy's supposed to get off at the first port. Understand? He said, well, it's all right with me. He said, as long as he works his way. He says, come on, I'll show you where the galley is. So the captain went down with Jackie into the kitchen, which was the galley. And as he walked down, he was asking Jackie questions about how he got on board and everything. And Jackie told him that he stayed on deck too long because Gus was showing him the ship. And I guess they forgot the time. And by the time he got back up on deck, the ship was out at sea. The captain kind of laughed. He says, you know, you have to watch Gus. He's a little tricky. You think he really did it on purpose, Captain Morris? Oh, I wouldn't say that he did, and I wouldn't say that he didn't. But he says, as long as you're on board, you about as well make the best of it. He said, but I have friends waiting for me back at River City. The captain laughed. He said, I'm afraid it's going to be a long, long time before you ever get back to River City, if you ever get back. And Jackie was right. Elmer had come back and he looked. And finally he told his dad and he looked. And everybody else looked. And they searched the town. They even went out to his uncle's place, knocked at the door, and his uncle told him that he's not there, that he doesn't know where he is. And finally, the next morning, Mr. Martin decided that they would have to go on home, leaving Jackie behind. Mr. Martin thought, what would he tell his wife when they came back and Jackie wasn't with them? Or what would he tell Juby when his best chickie man wouldn't come back? And all of that was going on while Jackie was out at sea. Jackie tried to make the best of it. Each day he did his work, and he had plenty of it, pulling up the buckets up on deck and throwing them with the wind so that the slop wouldn't come back on board ship, scrubbing the kitchen, washing pots and pans, and serving some of the meals. But the best part he liked best of all was bringing up the tray to the captain. The captain seemed to like Jackie, and Jackie thought the captain was pretty good too. But they weren't on the best of friends. But one evening, Jackie had finished up his work and he was strolling on deck. It was a very peaceful evening. The sea was calm and the sails were slowly moving in the breeze. And Jackie looked over towards a coil of rope and he saw somebody sitting on a coil of rope, and he looked again and again and he couldn't believe his eyes. Usually he saw sailors sitting all over the ship. But this person had on a cowboy suit and a hat. And finally he walked over and he says, "Hello." And the man turned around and he says, "Hello there." He says, "My name is Jackie Anderson." He says, "What are you doing on board?" He said, "You're not a sailor. He looks like you're a cowboy." "You might say that." He said, "My name's Tom Dawson." He says, "I suppose you might say I'm taking a little ride on the boat for my health." He said, "Oh, are you sick, sir?" No, I just a figure of speech." He said, "What are you doing on board?" Well, it's a long story. And finally, the two of them began to talk and talk and talk. And Jackie began to tell him about his uncle and everything else. And finally, Tom looked at Jackie. He says, "You look like a fellow that could be trusted." "Oh, you can trust me, all right." He said, "I think you're an honest boy." He says, "I am. I really am. I try to be." He said, "Well, Jackie, you and I might be able to work together." He says, "Really? What are you working? I thought you said you were sick." "Oh, I'm not really sick, no. I just said I was taking the voyage for my health." That's an old expression. "So then where are you going?" He looked around to make sure nobody was listening. He said, "Have you ever heard of the Khayyam Jewel?" Jackie says, "The what?" "The Khayyam Jewel." "No." "Well, that's what I'm working on. I've been assigned to find the Khayyam Jewel." He said, "It's missing. There are two tribes fighting over it. One accuses the other. And I don't think either one has it." He said, "My job is to find it." And he said, "I want you to help me." He said, "Sure." He said, "Where do you want me to look?" Tom laughed. He said, "Well, I don't want you to look anywhere. But what I want you to do," and he looked around again, he says, "Whenever you hear sailors talking or anybody else talking, keep your ears open and see me in the evening. Tell me what you've heard." He says, "Sure, Tom, I'll do that." Tom told him that at one time he used to be a sheriff. And he told him about himself, that he was alone and had this special assignment. Jackie didn't question anymore about that. But every evening he would meet Tom on deck. And every evening he would tell him what he heard the captain say, what he heard Gus say, and the sailors, and so forth. And nothing seemed important to Tom. And finally, one evening, Tom sat down with Jackie. "You know, Jackie," he says, "I think I may be on the wrong track." He says, "I was certain that somewhere on this boat, there's the Khayyam Jewel, or this boat is going to the place where I can find it." And he said, "I'm afraid I was mistaken." "What are you going to do, Tom?" He said, "You're going to go back?" He said, "Well, you just don't get up and walk home, you know, on board ship." Jackie laughed. He says, I know that. He said, but you could get off at the nearest port. That's where I'm going to get off. That'll be quite a while. He said, well, anyway, keep your ears and eyes open. It was several days later when Jackie was bringing up the tray for the lunch tray to the captain. He was ready to knock, as he always did, when he heard voices inside. And the captain was yelling, it can't be done. He says, the corals will scrape the bottom right in half. And then he recognizes Gus's voice. You've got to do it. It's worth $1 million. He says, it won't do me a bit of good if we're all down at the bottom of the sea. He says, you know this. You can chart it. He says, there are places you can get this ship through. He says, yes, there are a few places. Well, then you've got to do it. Well, let me think about it. Let me think about it. That evening, Jackie could hardly wait to get to Tom. He says, Tom, guess what? I heard them talking about $1 million. I said, did they mention the Kayam Jewel? No, but Gus wants the captain to go through the coral somewhere. A shortcut. He says, yes. I said, that could be. He says, good work, Jackie. He says, keep up the good work. It was several days later when Jackie went to get the bucket of water. And as he was getting the water, he heard the same two voices coming around the captain's quarters. He looked around for a place to hide. He set the bucket down, took the lid off the first barrel. It was full of water. Took the lid off the second one. It was empty. He jumped in and put the lid on top. And he heard the voices, and it was Gus again. He says, I've got to have your word. He says, half of it is yours, $500,000 to take me through the corals. He says, I've got to get there. He says, before someone else finds it. Captain kind of thought a while, and Jackie was peeking through a hole in the barrel up at the top. He says, do you know that if the slightest variation of course, we would all be at the bottom of the sea, you know that. Yes, but the Kayam Jewel is worth $1 million and half of it's yours. Jackie, listen, Kayam Jewel. He says, I have a map. The captain inquired, are you sure that the Kayam Jewel will be there? Gus unrolled the map. He says, there it is, right there. He says, I know where it is. He said, but we have to cut through the corals. He says, what do you say, Captain? Half and half. There was a pause. All right, Gus. All right, it's a deal. We'll go through the corals, hoping that we have some luck. He says, and when you get the Kayam Jewel, half of it's yours and half of it's mine. $500,000 apiece. Jackie jumped in the barrel, put the lid over it, and he heard the voices coming closer and closer. All of a sudden, Gus says, it means $500,000 is your share. And finally, the captain, Morris, all right, Gus, it's a deal, but we're risking our lives. Gus laughed. He said, for $1 million, you wouldn't? The captain laughed. He said, well, I guess I did. He said, the island of Komoko isn't very large. If we cut through the reefs, coral reefs, we should be there, in a week or so. Gus laughed. He says, we will. And he says, in 1 week, you and I will share $1 million. They shook hands on it. The captain says, well, now, let's not just shake hands. Let's have a drink on it. Gus picked up the dipper that was hanging on the wall, went over to the barrel and lifted the lid. Jackie looked up and saw Gus, the captain, just in time. That barrel is empty, it's over here. He put the lid back, reached in and dipped a dipper full of water from the other barrel, wiped his whiskers with his sleeve, and handed a dipper full to the captain. They both drank the water. He says, well, that seals the deal. And they left. Jackie waited, and then all of a sudden lifted the lid and looked around, jumped out, and went about his business. But he could hardly wait till evening. When evening finally came, he rushed up. He says, Tom, guess what? He says, I know everything. He says, like what? Gus and the captain, he said, they're going to cut through the coral reef for a shortcut. He said they should be there in a week to the island of Komoko. And they, do you know where the Kayam Jewel is? He says, no, but they said something about on the northern part of the island. Tom reached in his pocket and he pulled out, where did you get that, Tom? He says, oh, I've had this quite a while. He says, the northern part, that's the mountainous country. He said, did he say exactly where the Kayam Jewel was, if he knew? No, but I think he's got a map of it. He says, good work, Jackie. He says, keep your ears and eyes open. If anything else happens, let me know. So for the next few days, Jackie listened very carefully to every word the captain said. And it was on the fifth day after he had overheard in the water barrel what they were going to do, the captain kept looking at the barometer. Jackie says, is there something wrong, Captain? And he says, no, there's nothing wrong. He said, the barometer seems to be falling. He said, well, I'll pick it up. Captain laughed. He says, I don't mean it's falling on the ground. I mean it's going down. That means that we might have some bad weather. Oh, I see. Well, I hope it doesn't storm. The captain looked quite worried. He says, well, I hope so, too. Late that evening, Jackie again caught Gus and the captain, and they were discussing the weather. The captain was quite worried. He says, Gus, the barometer is falling. He says, if I cut through those coral reefs and we hit a storm, he says, you know what'll happen. A bargain's a bargain, Captain Norse. You made it with me, and we're going through the reef. He says, it's a matter of life and death now, a matter of $1 million. He says, all right, but we may get into some bad weather. It wasn't but a day or two later when the storm clouds began to gather. The sea began to get rougher. They were now going through the coral reef passage. The captain knew that his ship must stay right in the middle of the course, or the bottom could be ripped off by the sharp corals. Tom knew that too. And he told Jackie, he said, you stay close to me. He says, if it gets worse, he says, we may have to swim for it. How far are we from the island, Tom? Oh, he says, not too far, but probably too far to swim. It was the evening of the next day when things really began to get bad. The wind began to blow the waves and the ship began to heave. The captain was yelling orders to lower the mast because it was blowing him off course, and everything seemed to be going wrong. Jackie rushed down to see Tom. He says, Tom, what are we going to do? There was a crackling sound as if the ship was scraping bottom. Tom says, I think if this keeps up, we may have to jump overboard. And it wasn't long before the storm hit in full blast, and the ship began to rock and heave and scrape, and the big timbers of the mast began to creak. Jackie and Tom and Ritzy both, all three of them, came on top. The captain was yelling orders, and all of a sudden, the main mast began to tilt. Jackie saw the crack. He says, look out, Tom, the main mast. It fell right across the middle of the ship, and the ship began to break in half. And all of a sudden, the captain began to yell, abandon ship, abandon ship. A big wave came and took the front half and washed it overboard over on the other side of the big coral reef. Tom said, all right, Jackie. He says, come on. And he took his hand, and all three of them jumped. They found some debris floating around and were hanging on. They spent most of the night in the water, and when dawn came, the sea was again calm, but the ship was gone. Here and there was a floating mast or debris from the ship. They were hanging on to one of the middle posts, that is the mast, and as they were hanging on, they kept looking for land. Tom finally says, Jackie, are you all right? He says, I think so. Ritzy was hanging on. He says, tie yourself on. He says, tear that mast up there and tie yourself on if necessary. He says, you may fall asleep when you get so tired. He said, I hope we find land before long. Jackie tied himself on. He tied Ritzy on. Tom tied himself on. He knew that if they floated for days, they may even lose consciousness and would slip off and drown. So at least they would be tied to the mast. Tom kept paddling. He knew he had to go north, so with his hands he kept paddling and paddling. And it was almost sunset when Tom thought, we'll have to spend another night in the darkness in the water. And far in the distance, he says, Jackie, are you awake? Jackie was half nodding. He says, look over there, towards the sunset. It looks like trees, he replied. Well, that's what I thought. He says, come on, give me a hand. And the two of them began to, even Ritchie began to paddle. And they began to paddle, and the closer they got, the more they realized that it was land. And finally they hit the sandy beach, untied themselves and threw themselves on the sand, completely exhausted. It was morning when they finally woke up. And for the first time, they looked around, and Tom realized that they must be on the island of Komoko. And he knew that it was inhabited by two native tribes who were fighting each other, one accusing the other of stealing the Kayam jewel.